Good morning.
Good morning.
Kenneth was a high school football star and later an avid wrestler, a boxer, a hunter, a skin diver. Then a broken neck sustained in a wrestling match left him paralyzed from the chest down. He underwent therapy, and his doctors were hopeful that one day he'd be able to walk with the aid of braces and crutches. The former athlete could not reconcile himself to these physical limitations. So he prevailed upon two of his best friends to take him in his wheelchair to a wooded area. There, they left him alone with a 12-gauge shotgun. After they left, he held the shotgun to his chest and he pulled the trigger. He committed suicide at the age of 24. At the age of 19, Jim was stabbed, leaving him paralyzed from the middle of his chest down. Although confined to a wheelchair, he lives alone, he cooks his own meals, he washes his own clothes, he cleans his own house. He drives himself in his specially equipped automobile. He has written 3 books, and he was a photographer for the first book on the history of wheelchair sports. 30 years after his injury, he made a successful parachute jump landing precisely on his target. Kevin and Jim had nearly identical injuries and physical limitations. Their outlook, however, led to vastly different outcomes. What is your outlook on life today? This morning, I'd like to share with you, you're never helpless. You're never helpless. And do you know that you're never, ever in a helpless situation if you're a Christian? That no matter where you go or what you do, you're never in a hopeless situation. The words spoken to Joshua in his time of need are still true for us today. Those words are recorded in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, where Moses told him, "Be strong and of a good courage, and fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor will he forsake thee." Although Moses was talking to Joshua about the surrounding people and nations, it is true today that God will provide for us in any situation of life. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. These words are echoed again in the New Testament. Hebrews 13:5. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." No matter how bleak the outcome looks, you can always reach out to your Father. You can always pray. And prayer's a big deal. Within this fellowship here, we have great intercessors for prayer. When I think about intercessors and people to call for something, when I need something prayed for, the first people that always come to my mind are the Carters. I know the Carters pray, and I know that they're faithful. And you tell them about something, they stay on it. Jonathan and Linda Carter are probably two of the best examples I know regarding prayer in this area. Chuck and Lord are another one. Another one is Gerhardt. There are many. But I'll call, and I know that if I call them, they have my back, that it won't go in this ear and out the other, that they'll stay put on that. See? I realized this week, as I was living life, that sometimes we take our knowledge and our ability about prayer for granted. See? Because we know a lot of things about this. we have the great joy and relief to know that we can go to the Father and lay our burdens before Him. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us that we can cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. You know, if you ever talk to someone and share something with them and they turn around and say, "Why are you telling me? I don't care." That's not God. It says that God cares for us. He wants to hear what's on our hearts. He wants to help us. Romans chapter 3. Verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption that we have and we share and that we're part of is in Christ Jesus. It wasn't redemption that was of ourselves. We did nothing to earn it. We simply heard God's word, we believed it, and we received it because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, we had this verse a couple weeks ago, and quite in depth. But Romans taught us that we were justified freely by the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Galatians teaches us, knowing, verse 16, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we, which have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Our justification came by the faith of Jesus Christ. We didn't earn that either. It was given to us because of what He accomplished. Romans chapter 5. It says that we were justified by the faith of Jesus Christ in Galatians. Romans chapter 5 tells us in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, and whose faith is that? Of Jesus Christ, right? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, even the peace that we share and that we have that has been given to us, it's not that we've earned or developed or manufactured that peace. That peace has come to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has equipped us with everything that we need. He took upon Himself that which we didn't have and gave to us that which He has. It was a great exchange. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by what? Faith. Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. It says that we have access by faith. It was His faith that gave us access to God. In Ephesians 2 verse 18 it says, for through Him, talking about Jesus Christ once again, we both have access, talking about the Jew and the Gentile, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It is that one Spirit that gives us access unto God. There's no other Spirit. There is no other name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. It is one man and it is one Spirit. Verse 11 of chapter 3 in Ephesians says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of who? It's again, it's by His faith that we're able to be bold, and it's by His faith that we're able to be confident. It's not by our works. It's not by something we can do. We can go right to the throne room of God, our Father, and we can approach Him without fear. See, that's a big deal. As a minister, as a servant, as a doulos of Christ, one of the greatest things that you can teach people is how to access God. How to access God. If you want to get onto your computer and you want to go somewhere, you have to learn how to access that program, how to make it work. to be able to teach people who they are in Christ and that they can use the name of Christ is a great thing. And we should never take that for granted. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Okay. So they wanted to know how to pray, because they saw the master praying, right? And that's why you teach your children by example. They see you doing something, and then they'll come and they'll ask whether it's good or bad. They pick up that too, right? So how often do you pray? It's not a question I want an answer to. Do you go through your day drawn into the world, drawn into the radio, drawn into the TV, drawn into the sports announcers? If you're not watching football, nothing against football, but if you're not watching football, or you're on WIP or whatever that channel is, and all they do is talk about football. So as soon as you get in the car, you turn it on, and you're football from here, or hockey, or baseball. It's got nothing, you understand? Because there's stations that do that. I know that because when I get in the car, I shut those stations off. When I'm in a customer's car, I pull them in, right? So if it's not at the game, are you pre-game and tailgating game and every, see, and all these things. And then you say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Is that the extent of your prayer life? And what you have to understand is this. There's nothing wrong with football, baseball, basketball, wrestling. I'm talking about pro wrestling now. Real sports. Now, be good.
All right.
The truth came out. There's nothing wrong with that. But the world is ran by Satan. Bible teaches that. And he's not going to have your best interest in mind. So he will have those things that are pleasant to you in mind. He's going to know how to tempt you, and he will tempt you. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with all those things, but do you go through your day on a pre-program? You get up, you go to McDonald's every morning, or you go to Dunkin' Donuts every morning, or you go to Wawa every morning. You got this station on, you go to here, you do this. And before the end of the day goes, how often do you think about God? See, it's very difficult to think about God in this world because this world is designed to take you away from God. So what do? You run away? No, you're supposed to be a light unto the world. How are things of this world going to change? How are people going to know about God unless you shine? You have to be disciplined. Now, you're not being disciplined because you're going to earn anything for salvation or any of that other stuff. You're being disciplined so you're not a numbnuts for God. And you just don't go through life rolling like a ball and don't have any purpose. You have to take time to discipline. And you have to take time to pray. You have to take time to speak in tongues. How often do you speak in tongues? You know what gets robbed? Your WIP sports network doesn't get robbed. And are they playing the game tonight? All right. And your football game doesn't get robbed. You know what gets robbed? Your speaking in tongues gets robbed. Your prayer life gets robbed. Your thoughts of, hey, I can go and visit so-and-so and take them such and such just to bless them. Your service to one another gets robbed. That always gets robbed first. Your hobbies, your pleasures, that doesn't get robbed. But the devil's after, the devil will say, sit down in that nice comfortable chair, get yourself a nice box of wings, and relax. That'll never get robbed. Matter of fact, he'll buy for you. What will get robbed is your time with God, your fellowship with God, your love for the church and helping one another. That's what gets robbed. We read verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 5 before, where it said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But I didn't read you verse 6. And now I want to read you verse 6. Verse 6 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You got to humble yourself under God. The fuller you are of self, the less you will pray. You know why? You don't need to pray. You are the answer for all of your problems. See? And very difficult to guard against, because now I'm going to specifically target a category of people. Self-employed people, successful people. Which I am one. Okay? Very difficult to guard against, and you got to watch and you got to be sharp on it. Because the more successful you are, the more money you make, the more together you are, quote unquote, the more dangerous that can be. See? There's nothing wrong with that. David had lots of money. Solomon had lots of money. However, the money got the better of Solomon at the end of his life, along with the women and everything else that went along with that money. See? But the more full you are of yourself, of your ability, of your success, of your acclaim, of your achievements, the less you'll pray. Because you don't have any needs. But you got the greatest need of all. And you don't even realize it. I was telling some of you guys about a guy who got... he was a minister, and he was going to a healing campaign to prove the lady was a phony. And when he went to the healing campaign, there were thousands of people there. There was no room for him to sit. And so one of his congregation that went to his church met him, and he was an ushering that night at that healing campaign. And he took him through the crowd up to where all the cripples and invalids and sick people were, and he sat them right there. And then after the story got all done and the guy got born again, he said he didn't realize that he was in the place that he needed to be seated at, because he was the sickest of them all. And this guy was Harvard educated, Oxford educated, and he was educated, and he held more value on his knowledge of God and disdained people on the experience of God. That's what kept him away from God. And he had a church for 7 or 8 years, and he wasn't even born again until he went to that lady's healing campaign. But they sat him right there in the middle of all the sick people. And he says, that's where I needed to be. So I didn't even realize it. So you can be on the outside, like pressed and together, and you got it, and every hair is in place. Don't worry about tuning. You got the look going on. But you know what? God doesn't look on the outward appearance of man. He looks where? He looks on the inside, right? And that's why we have to be careful. Because the more full you are of self, the less room there is for God. That's not a good thing. If you don't know the word, I don't know how people in this world are getting along without God. I mean, they're selling out to everything else to just get some sort of peace, some sort of purpose, some sort of self-value. The word of God is important. There's so much violence in this world, so much hurt, so much injustice. I don't know how people do it without God. I really don't. They're just programmed to receive negative things. And you know something? When something positive comes on the news, they won't play it. Because the people don't want positive. The people don't want happy. They don't want good news. They want murder. They want blood. They want violence. See? One of the things the Trump administration has successfully been able to do is almost eradicate ISIS from the TV. He doesn't tell his generals to announce a week before or a month before that they're going to be bombing Kuwait or Pakistan or wherever, so CNN can go there and take all the pictures and play them back on the news. Everything he does with them is covert, and you may find out about it later on. He's not giving them any publicity, press. He's not giving them a voice, a platform to show their fear and evil. You don't see any of that junk. Under the Obama administration was every day. Every day. They just wanted to put fear into you. Now, I could care less one or the other. It's just a remark, an observation. And I wasn't going to teach you about, you know, you're never helpless. This I was teaching something else. The teaching was already done. But then life happened. As so many times, you know, you plan out your days and your weeks, and then life happens. And what happened this week is, you know, I got to pray for a guy whose heart was broken. Now, everybody has a place in their heart, for the most part, that is tender and dear and personal and quiet and private to them, very emotional. And for this particular man, he was he had a bad past, similar to mine, but his was more violent. And as he grew older, you know, he had two children, and he's the father of two children. And so his youngest child is 3 years old, and his youngest child, he spent all night at the emergency room. Now, just to go to the emergency room, if you've ever been to an emergency room, you need to go to another emergency room just waiting in there for that long. Because some of those people are so unloving, so I could care less. The doctors look around the corner, they look at you, they go back in, and they watch TV. I mean, they're just... So he goes in at 12:30, doesn't get seen till like 6 o'clock for his child. And it's only a three-year-old. You know, isn't that crazy? It is crazy. So has an infection, and they tell the guy that the infection goes around to the back. That's bad. It's in the kidneys. Come back right away. So they give him some medicine. He takes the baby home, calls me, tells me about this. And a little bit later, I see him and says, I just see his face. I said, what's the matter? He says, it's got pain in the back and maybe the infection went to the back. I said, no, it's not going to. And so I grabbed him and I said, come with me. And I took him to a quiet place and I said, I'm going to pray for your child. So as I prayed for the child, he started to cry. This is a grown man. And in that moment, what I realized is that he felt helpless. And I thought to myself, I encouraged him, I said, God said that your child's going to be fine. Don't worry. Okay, so he went and he had to go dry his tears off and stuff. And his child is fine. Gonna check back, okay? But I thought to myself, what is the church teaching this guy? Right? I mean, you're never in a helpless situation. Never. But he was in a helpless situation. And he goes to, quote unquote, a church. And I said to myself, what is the church teaching this person? So we have to be able to understand that we could always pray. He didn't even know he could pray. He didn't even know he had access to God, that he was justified. This thought is so foreign from him. And you want to know what? It's not so foreign, because a lot of people in church have no clue. They got no clue that, okay, well, let's call Jonathan and he'll pray with us, or let's call Nick and he'll, but they got no clue that I'm going to pray. I'm going to get quiet right here and we're going to talk to God about this situation. And people go to churches every day and they got no clue. Why is that? I'll tell you why it is. Because the guy standing behind the pulpit is not doing his job. That's why it is. You don't need the minister to pray for you. I just read to you. You were justified by faith. You have access into the throne room of God. Everybody in this room has access to God is your Father. You need to know that. You need to know that no matter what happens, and no matter what you've been doing up until that point, that you can still go to the Father and He'll hear you. And if you need to go to the Father and say, I've been a shithead, I'm sorry, and then pray, then do it if you need to confess your sin first. But you can do that. You don't have to wait for me. You don't have to wait for a miracle. You don't have to wait for anything. What a comfort to know that you have a little baby. Do you hold that baby in your arms that you can pray for that baby? Right? You sit there and speak in tongues for that baby. You got to tell nobody. Nobody's business. Right? That's a comfort. That you're going to the creator of heavens and the earth and you're praying for that baby. See? And that almost broke my heart. See a full-grown man cry because he was like a deer in the headlights. I mean, he didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. And I thought to myself, what do I take for granted? How much have I been imparted? How much have I been given? And I thought again, I don't want anybody ever to be in a position where something would happen like that, that they don't go to God, that they know that God will hear them. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. He cares about you. He wants to hear about you. The man felt hopeless. He felt helpless. He didn't know that he could pray, and he didn't expect God to hear his prayer, let alone answer his prayer. About the two boys I read to you about earlier. The one was full of self. He was full of self. He was letting his past dictate his present and his future. He used to be a great athlete. He used to be in the light. He used to be looked up to. He was a hero. He was a star. But all that was taken away from him. And you know something? A lot of that stuff in life can be taken away from you. And if that's what defines you, you're in sad shape. That's not who you are. That's not what you are. That's not who defines you. What defines you is what's on the inside. And that's Christ. And what He has made you, what God has made you in Christ. That's who you are. That is what defines you. And nobody can take that away from you. It's incorruptible seed, right? It's eternal life. It's everlasting. Nobody can take that away from you. And God knew that. He said, I'm going to give them something that they're going to be able to be for the rest of their lives. And no one can take it away from them. Now, you can be lied to, and if you want to believe what the lies the devil want to tell you, you want to believe the lies that the devil says you're no good, that you're going to amount to nothing, that you can't overcome this problem, you got a part in it. Which way you want to go? You want to take the 12-gauge and go out to the woods, or you want to knuckle up and do and make the best out of the situation that you are in, and continue to move ahead. And that's what you got to do. You got to continue to move ahead. Because there's no other alternative. You call Digger Odell. And that guy may have been able to walk with the aid of braces. And as technology progressed, you know what? He may have been able to walk free. But the devil lied to him. And the devil stole his life. Stole his life. He said, teach us to pray. Verse 2 of Luke chapter 11. Jesus said unto him, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Jesus instructed his disciples to pray to God or to the Father which was where? Okay, this is the words of Jesus Christ. This is how he taught them how to pray. He didn't say, pray to me. He didn't say, pray to Joseph. He didn't say, pray to Mary. You know. Somebody told me. this week. Must have had to be somebody else. Oh, yeah, it was somebody else. He says, I pray. He says, I pray to Mary, and I ask her to tell her son to bless people down on earth. I didn't fight with the guy. He was, but... Cause and that's good logic, because if you want to get the kid to do something, you go to mom. But that's not the way it works. And she said, I pray to Mary every morning, and I ask her to tell Jesus to do good things on earth. Okay. Jesus said, pray to the Father which is in heaven. So, Mary, the Father, I'm going to go with Jesus on this one. When you pray to God. He's your Father. John chapter 15, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So we're to pray to the Father in the name, in his name, and expect an answer. John 16, 23 says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Again, the same truth repeated. Pray to the Father in my name. When that day comes, he's telling them there's a day coming. Ephesians 5, the day has come. Pentecost has passed. Ephesians is a church epistle. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, it bridged from the gospel when it came to pass at the day of Pentecost practically. Now we pray to God and we give thanks as a form of a prayer in the name of Jesus. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Again, you thank God by the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, after the day of Pentecost, once again, verse 30, you know, Peter and John healed this guy at the temple gate, beautiful. They got brought back. They got threatened. We don't want you to teach or preach in this what? Name. That's what they were concerned about. So they go back and they have a prayer meeting. This is how they deal with it. They go and they lay their cares. They cast their cares before God because he cares for them. So this is some of the prayer meeting recorded in verse 30. Some of the prayers saying, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had what? Prayed. They're praying. The place was shaken. They were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the word of God with what?
Boldness.
Right. That all these things may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. They prayed. They laid it at God's feet. We're never helpless. You can always talk. You can always pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's never wrong to pray. It's never wrong to pray. To ask for help in that situation. The only time that it's wrong to pray is that I know of. There may be other times, but I do know of this one. It is wrong to pray when you should be ministering. Okay? You pray, and then when there's time to go up and lay your hands on somebody and minister, you don't pray and keep praying. That's a chicken way. You understand? That's fear. That's fear. Even Peter and John, when they were at the temple gate, beautiful, they may have prayed before, but they reached down. They took them by what? That's the action part. They didn't sit there and just say, well, let me pray about it. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. No. That's when it's wrong to pray. Pray before, then minister. Get involved. Act. You're never helpless. God bless you, sweetheart. That was the prettiest sneeze I heard all morning. Psalm 27. In closing, I want you to just listen to these. This is what God is to you. This is what God is for you. You're never helpless. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" You're going through something in life. These are the things you want to grab onto. You want to hold on to these. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." This is in your corner. This is a promise to you. Verse 13, "For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." That's a good thing. Isaiah 12, verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." This is your Father. Joshua 1:9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." God lives inside of you. He's with you wherever soever that you go. Psalm 46:1. "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." Romans 8:31. "What shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us?" See, these are the things you need to bring to your mind, to feed your mind when you are faced with difficulties in life. Because you're never in a helpless situation. You have these promises of God. Isaiah 40:29. "He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even thy youths, they shall fail and be weary. And thy young men, they shall utterly fall. But them that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not what? Faint." See? We have these promises given to us from our God. We have the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of us. We're never in a helpless or a hopeless situation. We can always pray. We can always cast our cares upon him. Don't be so full of self that you try to do it alone. See, I say many times that when you come to the end of your rope, that's where you find God. We need to empty ourselves of self. We need to have God be our strength. We need to depend on him, depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in their ability, not in our ability. We don't want to walk in the light of our own light. We want to walk in the light of his light. Everybody stand, please. Stand for the blessing of the Lord. And this was the traditional blessing that they gave in the Old Testament. It's the one I'm going to give to you today. Close your eyes, please. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Go this day in the love and the peace of the Lord, and love each other as he loves you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.